Oh, God. It is a good thing, man, to give praise unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. You have it there. I want you to read it with me. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, so if you don't have that version, that's all right. Just have your time. Oh, we have it on the screen. All right, so we can all read it together. You ready? Read. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Now, we're going to read it one more time, but this time we're going to declare it, not just read it. All right, you ready? Declare. For the Lord your God. You know, so often we've heard that scripture and we've heard that preached. And I think erroneously in some sense, because preachers have tried to scare us out of hell into heaven by declaring that God is a jealous God. He's a God of fire, and he is going to burn you like toast if you don't get it together. I don't know about that. I don't have that kind of a God. I don't serve that kind of a God. I serve a God that's in love with me. And he's in love with you. I want you to know that today, that he is a lover of you. He pursues you. As a matter of fact, the Song of Solomon, chapter 7 and verse 10, tells us that my beloved is mine and his desire is for me. God's fire is his desire for you. You know, the scripture tells us in Song of Solomon as well, not to awaken love before it's time. And I believe in so many instances, the church has been kind of like an adolescent young girl. And she's in puppy love, but she hasn't been in mature love. And she needs to grow up into womanhood so she knows how to love her man. Now, man, I'm telling you, you get a woman that knows how to love her man, you got a good life, I'm going to tell you right now. I remember as a young boy, we used to sing this song, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, find an ugly woman to be your wife. You want my personal point of view. Get an ugly woman to marry you. Then it goes on. Hey, brother, I saw your wife the other day. Yeah, you did. Yeah, she sure is ugly. And he responds. He says, yeah, but she could sure cook. How many know the Lord's not looking for beauty on the outside, but he sees the beauty of your spirit created in the image of God. Hallelujah. There's nothing more compelling. There's nothing more attractive than holy desire that goes above and goes beyond. I mean, what would compel Christ to go above and beyond the religious mindsets of his day, to go through all the suffering and the rejection and get to Calvary and there be suspended between heaven and earth and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, other than his pure, undefiled love for his bride? Jesus loves you. He loves you so much. He has a desire for you. He's compelled. He'll go above and he'll go beyond. His desire is towards you. And I want you to know today that the fire of God is first about his pleasure and his holy romance with his people. Everybody say, holy romance. I love being a romantic. I love it. I'm learning how to do it. I've been married 36 years, and I'm in love with that woman up here on the front row. Whew! When I think of the goodness of that woman, makes me want to dance, dance, dance. I'm telling you, she winds my clock, man. It's good stuff. And I love being romantic. I mean, when I was in the military, I was stationed in Philadelphia, and I was so in love with this woman. I mean, I just wanted to see her, and I had weekend off. I was on base. I was on watch on Friday, and I got off about 7 o'clock at night. And so I decided I was going to hitchhike all the way to Toledo, Ohio. I didn't have a car. I didn't even know how to get there. All I knew was get on the turnpike and go west. I wasn't even sure how to get there, but it didn't matter to me because I had a desire that went above and beyond. And so I hitchhiked all the way, and I got to her house. It was sometime on Saturday. I spent about 6 hours with her, and I had to hitchhike back because I had to be at the base that Sunday night. I got off the semi-tractor trailer somewhere in Philadelphia, caught a cab back to the base, walked in there, went right to work after being up all night. But you know what? I'm not worried about paying a price because I was a love-sick boy. You know, some people talk to me about how hard it is to serve God. Oh, it's so hard. It's not hard when you're in love. Amen. How many love Jesus this morning? Come on. You love him. Woo! I love him. So his first fire of God is first about his pleasure and his holy romance with his people. And secondly, it's the manifestation of passion that removes everything between him and his love. And I just want to declare today, I want you to know something. Once you come to God through Jesus, you're hooked. Once you drink of his pleasures, once you know of God's love, I mean, you could backslide if you want to. You can go ahead and drift away and get cold, but I want you to know something. The manifestation of his love is he is going to judge that thing that came between you and him. You think you go back to the bottle because you found love there. You go back to illicit relationships because you found love there. But I want you to know something. That thing's not going to fulfill you. Once you've tasted of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Once you've tasted of the goodness of the Lord, nothing's going to satisfy you. Look, there's some beautiful women in this room right now. But you can't touch Tina. Not in my eyes. Ooh, I've tasted the goodness of that woman. Ain't nobody do me like Tina. Oh. Ain't nobody do me like my girl. You remember that song? She's all right. Woo, I think we're going to quit right here. Let's go, honey. We're in a hotel. Uh-oh. Look at somebody and say, I thought this was Sunday morning. What's going on here? Exodus 20 and verse 5, that which attempts to step between he and his bride. He said, I am the Lord thy God, and I am a jealous God. Did you know that God has been jealous over his bride today in this generation? Because his bride has been allured by things in this world. 1 Timothy 3 says that we become pleasures, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Whether it's money or materialism or fast cars or fast girls, whether it's a girly magazine or whether it's your aspiration to go high and level in your business, listen, anything that separates you from the love of God, the consuming fire of his jealousy is going to judge. And God is a jealous God. He wants you all for himself. Come on, tap somebody and say, God loves you so much. You don't even know how much God loves you. You don't even know how much he loves you. Because King David in Psalm 36 and verse 8 found something out. Psalm 36 and verse 8, David was on the hills of Bethlehem. I was there. I've been to Israel 7 times. If you want to go, I'll take you there and we'll show you around the Holy Land and show you some of the powerful sites in the Bible. Not some of the traditional sites of churches that are built and the religious observations. No, we're going to go right back down to where David interfaced with God. There in the holy Bethlehem hills where him and God alone, while he watched the sheep, began to have the passion develop in his life. And this is what it says. It says, they are abundant. Satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. David discovered a river that flowed from the very throne of God. He discovered a river called pleasure. He discovered a river called love. And David began to drink of that river. And it transformed David into another man. It transformed David into somebody that could stand in the face of a Goliath and say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Because he didn't see the opposition. He just saw his love for God. And it made him a different man. 500 years later, write it down, Daniel, after David, he found this same river. And he found it in this particular scripture in Daniel, I believe it's chapter 7 and verse 10. And he began to talk about this same fire, the same river of fire that flowed from the throne of God. And he began to partake of it. And it caused him to see the last days where he wrote prophetically in a companion way with the book of Revelation that would be written many hundreds and thousands of years later. But he had a revelation of the God of his love and the love of his life. It says a fiery stream issued and came forth before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. He said, this fiery stream has touched me. You see, I got to tell you, I just don't go to church. I just don't sing songs. I just don't read my Bible. I've drank from a river called pleasure. I've been touched by a river called fire. Like Jeremiah the prophet says, it's shut up in my bones. It's a peculiar bunch. It's a people on the earth that are different. They're people that are passionate about their walk with God. They don't want no church stuff. Oh, no. Church on the North Coast is no place you could get churchy. You got to drink of the river. You got to drink of the fire of God and let it be passionate birth in your soul. Where you live and you move and you have your being in Him and Him only. And God, I have to have that kind of walk with you. I got to have that kind of worship. I got to have that kind of preaching. I've got to have that kind of intimacy, but I can't have it. How can it be that I can have it at home and come to church and I can't touch it? My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Don't bring me to the point. Don't bring me to the point of pleasure, and then don't let me experience the rejoicing of my spirit. Church has got to be transformed. We've got to begin thinking different about church. There's an old chorus that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. You know it? Sing it. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. I'm going to change the words. No, we're going to back up. Come on. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of the church will grow strangely dim. You don't have to call me bishop. You ain't even got to call me reverend. You don't have to call me nothing, baby. All I know is I'm loved of God. I don't have to wear a robe, a tie. I don't have to put on a big cross. I don't have to burn candles. I don't have to come to your church and be part of your little organization. I just want Jesus. Am I preaching in the right place here this morning? I got a feeling all of you are you're misfits. Look at somebody and say, if he talks about me like that one more time, I'm leaving. No. See, lovesick people don't fit. 500 years later, after Daniel, which was 500 years after David. Chronicle it in the Bible later in your own personal Bible study. It was Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And it says, suddenly, we built a whole denomination on it. It's called Pentecostals. My God, Pentecostals need to be revived. Suddenly, there was a sound of a rushing, mighty wind that filled the house where they were praying. They were having church. God said, excuse me, let me interrupt your church service. But notice how He did it. There wasn't a B3 there. There wasn't a quartet there. Jesse wasn't there. TD wasn't there. He said that God Himself showed up. Cloven, tongues of fire. Watch out now. The same fire that Daniel saw. The same fire that David drank from. God said, my passion has not changed. What I want is I want intimacy with my people. I want oneness with my people. I want them to love me with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, with all their strength. And their neighbor. Look around. Say, oh my God, this scares me. I don't know. Sunday morning is the most segregated morning in America. Because black folk don't like white folk, and white folk don't like black folk, and brown folk, they don't like nobody. That's not true. You like other brown folk. But when you're in love, you know, you try to tell a young girl, sweetheart, this man's not right for you. This man's not going to be good for you. Mama, I don't know. Mama, I don't care. All I know is I love him. I love him, Mama. I love him. You can't talk her out of her love. I don't want you to talk on the phone to him. I don't want you to write notes. I don't want you to be with him. You think she's going to listen? Which one of you girls in here when you were lovesick and your mama said, don't see that man, listened? I don't see one hand in here. Because when you're in love, it's like, oh, well, this woman birthed you. She cleaned you. She raised you. She fed you. Took you to school, picked you up after practice. And now you telling her, mama, I love him. I love him. Church ought not to be a place where you say, you can't love God like that. Don't love him like that. Don't you talk to God like that. You're just a little bit too free in your worship. You're too passionate. I don't want you talking to him like that. Listen, you could tell me that all day long, but I'm going to sneak out of the house. I'm going to call him on my sister's cell phone. I'm going to see him at school in the locker room. I'm going to do whatever I got to do. Come on, somebody, lift your hand and say, I'm going to praise him anyway. Come on. Come on, praise him, praise him, praise him. Come on, this is a praise break right here. Just love on Jesus. Come on, love on Jesus with all your heart, soul, might, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus! I want to be immersed in this love. I want to be immersed in this love. Lord, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. Oh, I'm amazed at your love for me, God. I know me. You see, you don't know me well, but I know me. Many of us, it's like he found us in our own blood. He found us on the side of the road, defeated and near death. Ornery, cantankerous, self-centered. And he said, for him, for her, I'm going to die. Christ demonstrates his love for us even while we were yet sinners. He died for us. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, if you're not used to talking in church, it's all right. Talk to me, somebody. Don't make me come back there to that back row. People that know me well, I get a spirit of slap on me. I don't hurt nobody, though. Paul, the great apostle, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, you know, what an accomplished man. What a man. This man was like incredible. He had so much worth, so much value in the things of this world. Here's what it says. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss. All things loss. What? For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He said, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as dung, count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, sat under the feet of Gamaliel. I mean, he was the man. He said, forget it. I count it as all loss. There is a counter move in the kingdom. Be careful now, because a counter move in the kingdom, and that is to be an achiever in the natural. It's all right to achieve in the natural. God wants you to be wealthy. God wants you to have many good things. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to drive you a nice car. But let me tell you something. Your first love. It's to be a spiritual achiever in Jesus. Don't be seduced by the spirit of this age. But be a lover of God. Paul said in Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 11 and 23, he said, I've been shipwrecked. I've been in the water all day and all night. I've been in all kinds of stuff. I've been in labors, and I've been in stripes. I've been in prison. They stoned me in. They stoned me. They beat me with stripes like Jesus, 39, three times. I mean, let's not imagine because I don't have the time, but if your back would become ribbons hanging around your waist after one time, what would it look like three times? And then Paul says something about being stoned, being shipwrecked, night and day, I've been in the deep. And then he says this, I've been in perils, I've been robbed, I've been lied on, cheated on. Whoa, yeah, I like that song. Anyway. I can't help myself. You just have to put up with me. hunger, thirst, fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Go on. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. But here's what he said. I count them as light and momentary afflictions. You mean you hitchhiked all the way from Philadelphia to Toledo to see her for 4 or 5 hours? You are crazy. No, I count that as nothing. When I walked in that door, 1327 Utah Street, walked up on the porch, and there she was. Ow! Come on, somebody. Come on, lift your hand right down and say, Lord, I want to behold your beauty. Oh, Lord, I want to behold your beauty, Jesus. You see, God is a consuming fire, and he is going to judge in this hour, this generation, anything that is coming between you and his love. Anything that comes between you and his love, God says, I'm going to judge that thing. There are people in here hearing my voice that are like cold, all cold. You backslidden. You're like away from God. This is like a new start, a new hope. You're thinking, well, if I can just come here, maybe I can get this thing going again. I don't know. I'm going to try it one more time, whatever. But listen to me. This is God's grace. That he's going to bring judgment on the thing that has been keeping you from him. It's illustrated in the book of Hosea and Gomer, how she prostituted himself and he married her anyway. And then she prostituted again and he bought her back. You can't run from him. You can't be content or happy any other way. You might as well sell out for Jesus. You might as well become one radical, bad to the bone, devil stomping, tongue talking, Holy Ghost Christian. You might as well, because you're not going to be happy any other way. You're going to be miserable. Because once you drink of the river of his pleasure, once the fire of his river begins to touch your heart, he will change you. A lovesick generation is what he's looking for. You see, the reason the lovesick generation, why we need them so much. Tina and Pat, they grew up in a family of 10 children. And after 41 years of marriage, her father divorced their mother. Now look, when you got 10 kids, you've been married 41 years, go on with the woman. I mean, come on. What do you got left anyway? I mean, 41 years, 10 kids, just go on with the woman. I don't understand that. Look at somebody and say, that's just crazy. And the woman across the street and their father were having an affair. And the baby she birthed, like 12 years earlier, they said was her ex-husband's baby, but it really was their father's baby. And when it all came out, I don't know how old you were. You were just probably in your late 30s, had babies. We had 4 kids. We were married. And it devastated them. You know what's happening in this generation today? Kids are being devastated when dad walks out for the other chick. Oh, yeah. We've got more marriage counseling seminars today. We've got more conferences on the family. You know why? Because we can't hold it together. We're missing something. We're missing something. It's called being lovesick. Let me tell you something. There was no mistake about it with Abraham and Sarah. God, you knew that that was his woman. He was fondling her in public. Isaac did the same thing. You stick around long enough with me and my wife, you're going to see me too. She said, stop it. We're in church. I said, I can't help it. But you know what it does to a family? I'll never forget the moment that my father came home drunk. This was when I was a young kid. He was an alcoholic in my our early life. He was a third grade educated immigrant from Hungary, came through Ellis Island, worked in the coal mines. All he knew how to do was work hard and drink. Came home, my mother had enough of it. She started screaming. I'm in bed, I wake up. I start shaking and shuddering, going, God, what's happening? I didn't know Jesus. My family didn't know anything about Jesus. But when my dad started cussing at her and swearing at her and told her to put the knife down, I thought I was going to lose both parents. And my world was rattled. Today, kids' worlds are rattled. That speaks to us prophetically, because in the church, young people, their security, their self-esteem, their confidence comes when they know mom and dad love each other. Now, I have a minor in psychology. I know enough about it just to be messed up. But I know this one thing. I can ask you if you're in trouble. I said, as a little boy growing up, how did you know as a boy that your father loved your mother? Well, he went to work every day. No, that doesn't work. What else? As a little girl growing up in your house, how did you know your mother loved your father? I don't know. And today, the reason why 18-year-olds are leaving the church in mass exodus is because they grow up in the house and they're not sure mama loves daddy. Now, I'm not talking about the natural parent. I'm talking about the bride of Christ and the groom, Jesus. They're not sure they're in love, and they're insecure, and they're not confident about their future. And so they start looking for love in all the wrong places. They start looking in the bottle, and they start looking for promiscuous relationships, and they start looking for drugs, and they start looking for other philosophies and traditions and religions of men. And God's looking for a people today who will rise up in this hour and be passionate about their relationship. Because we are a mature people. We know the Bible. We've been through the Bible studies. We've been to the Benny Hins. We've been knocked down, picked up, knocked down, picked up. How many times are you going to get somebody else's anointing? We've had prayer cloths. We've had oil in jars. We have water from the Holy Land. You've watched TBN. You've sent in your offering to try to get some kind of increase. When are you going to give yourself to the love of your life? Jesus. When are you going to walk into womanhood? When are you going to love your man? When a man loves a woman. That's what I'm talking about. Because lovesick people will drive you into activities that others will be enraged by. Lovesick people will disturb the status quo. Lovesick people will threaten religion. Lovesick people cannot be bribed, they cannot be bought, and they cannot be politicked. Lovesick people cannot be controlled. And you can't control them with fear, because they have no fear. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Love will make you spiritually violent. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, you ain't going to tell me I ain't going to touch him today. No, 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 no. I don't care what you think. When you all start playing, Lord, I'm amazed. Play that, please. You can't tell me I can't worship him. You can't tell me I've got to follow your rules. I want an alabaster anointing. She didn't care how many dignitaries were in the room. She said, Lord, I'm amazed by you. And she took her hair, shook it out. Tears began to wipe, come down her face, and she didn't wipe them. She let them drip on his feet. And she began to wipe his feet with her hair and wash them with her tears. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Come on, worship with me. Lord, I'm amazed. You love me. Hold it right there. 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 And Job said this, that the gold of this world would become like dust in Job 22. And his presence would become like gold. The things of this world would become like dust. And his presence would become like gold. The Laodicean church thought they had it all together. He said, you're naked, you're wretched, you're poor, and you're blind. Can we this morning get the alabaster anointing on our lives? Hey, we're just getting ready. We're just getting to know each other. But there's only one we really need to know. How you love me. Sing that one more time. Lord, I'm amazed. Come on, church, sing it. Lift your hands. Sing.
Lord, I'm amazed by you.
Lord, I'm amazed.
Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love.
Lord, I'm amazed.
Yeah, we say, Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me.
I want to speak this morning over every person that's in this room, that you would be introduced to the depth and the height and the width of his love. Some of you have had some church experiences that have just been absolutely atrocious, and I know that. And I'm not saying we're the perfect church, because we're not. I know some of you have been disappointed, you've been hurt, you've been wrecked, and now you're saying, well, maybe one more time. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to do everything right, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to love God with passion. And I've determined ain't nobody going to out-worship me. I've determined that. And I've got an extreme love for God and his word. And if that's what you're hungering for, you found the right place. I can't promise you anything else, but I can give you that. And right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask this question. You've been looking for love in the wrong places. Looking for God's love and can't find it. And you thought, Lord, I just didn't know it was in you. Maybe today you don't know that if you were to die, you would go to heaven or hell. The scripture says that these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. You could know today. And we want to pray for you. My wife and I have been praying for this morning for months. We've envisioned your faces. We didn't know if there'd be two faces or 20 faces or 200 faces, but we've been praying. And I want more than anything for you to meet my Savior, the love of my life, Jesus. I want you to come to love him. You don't have to go to a church. You don't have to be churchy. How I love you, Lord. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in a moment if you really want to meet Christ. You want to meet Jesus as your Savior. Christians, you're praying with me. I know you are. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. If you say, you know what, I don't know if I'm ready to go to heaven, but I want to know. Altar ministers are coming right now as well. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, just hold your hand up. Nobody's looking around. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Sing how wide. How wide,
how deep,
how great. Anybody else? Come on, lift your hand up if that's you. You say, I need God's love today.
How wide, how deep, how great is your love for me.
And we're going to sing that just one more time. And when we do, we're going to stand. Those of you that raise your hand, I want you to take a step of boldness and run to your love, the love of your life, Jesus. And you meet one of these young women or ladies, a man up here, and they'll pray with you and believe God for your life. It's going to be the best day of your life. We're going to sing, Lord, I'm amazed. If you raise your hand, I want you to come. Are you ready? Come on, let's stand to our feet. Come on, if you raise your hand. Come on, if you raise your hand.
Lord, I'm amazed.
Come on, you need that prayer.
Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me.
Come on, everybody, let's worship him one more time. Yes.
Lord, I'm amazed.
Here's what I'd like for you to do, if you will, please. I want you to be bold and with compassion and kindness. Look to somebody to your right or left or behind you and say, listen, if you raise your hand, if you need God's love in your life today, if you need to get right with Jesus, I'll go with you and take them by the hand and walk them up here and be their friend. Could you do that? Come on, do it right now. I mean, you may not know him, but that's all right. But with compassion and kindness in your voice, do you need that prayer? Then take them by the hand and bring them up here right now. Lord, I'm amazed
by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you.
Come on, come on. This is your moment.
Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me.
Come on, let's give him a hand. Come on, God bless him. Hey, come on, Jesus.
Lord, I'm amazed, yes, by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me.
Right now, across the aisle, take somebody by the hand one last time. Our closing moments together for the very first time. Thank you, Lord. I pray today, Lord Jesus, that we would become one body with one heart and one goal, and that is to love God with all our heart, soul, might, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. May this be a place where the love of God abounds, where people find forgiveness and friends, and where people, oh God, can know without any uncertainty that they have a future and they have a hope. Thank you for those that you've gathered in this room this morning. Let us go from this place this morning now, God, with rejoicing in our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we go, amen, give the Lord a praise. That's good, yeah. Are we going to go to your house Wednesday? Are we doing your house? Okay. Those of you that would like to have a personal leadership moment with my wife and I. Tossie and Rita Wiley live in Solon. And I don't know how many people we could put in your house. How many can you have? 20? 25? Everybody? No. What do you want to cut it off at? 30? 20? 20. At the desk out front, you have to sign up. And my wife and I will be personally discipling whoever comes. And their home is just 5 minutes from here. And we're looking for other homes that we can meet in. And we want to do personal discipleship on a one-on-one basis. So we'll be doing that, Tina and I, this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We're starting right away. We've got a youth ministry. Our youth ministers are here somewhere, Fusion and Elevate. Dan's here. And we want our youth group to gather together. We've got an activity already scheduled at some Whirly Bird something going on, September 30th. So we've got an activity scheduled. We are going to have a lot of stuff going on, okay? But if you want to be a part of that group this Wednesday, sign up. First 20 people. This is what we ever say every Sunday. Live right. Don't mess around. Love everybody. Don't pick and choose. And pray hard. Life is short. See you next time. God bless you. We love you.